Wrestling fans, promoters, wrestlers, and anyone who enjoys pro wrestling now have something new to be excited about. The Wrestling Fans International Association, the WFIA, is back. WFIA is an association that exists to promote, grow, and support professional wrestling throughout the world. Membership is free. Your membership includes a free digital bi-monthly publication of the Wrestling Fan News newsletter, association updates, voting privileges, and much more. Please go to thewfia.org, that's thewfia.org, and become a member today. Attention WFIA members, you're not going to want to miss this one. The 2024 WFIA virtual convention will be this fall from September 13th through 15th online. We're going to have the world's strongest man, Ken Patera, the world's most dangerous announcer, Gary Michael Capetta, and many more. Folks, you don't want to miss this one. Tickets and prices will be out soon. So keep looking online at the WFIA.org website and our Facebook page and watch and register as soon as you can. You must be a WFIA member to be a part of the convention. So go to WFIA.org and become a member today.
Welcome, everybody, to Pro Wrestling Wire Radio, part of ProWrestlingWire.com. I am Rick Del Santo. I'm joined today by a very special guest, the Crocodile King, Alan Compass. Thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, anytime. Happy to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's talk a little bit about your wrestling career, or let's talk about how you started, how you got interested in the wonderful world, the wacky world, I should say, of professional wrestling.
So my uncle actually got me into wrestling very young. I loved it. I always wanted to do it. I wish they started sooner, but freak accident, and I couldn't for a while. I got an opportunity, actually, when I was trying to help somebody else get into it, and my wife was like, no, you got to go for it. Give it a shot. See if you can do it, and I wasn't sure if I was going to because I did have like a heart incident randomly when I was younger, but it didn't do damage to my heart. It was just like a freak infection. So I went, I tried out. I was over at Test of Strength for a while. Mm-hmm. They're fantastic. I'm really grateful that I've actually, though, got to train at multiple different places because everyone does it so different. I learned a lot of cool stuff over there. Eventually, just work situation didn't work out to where I could be there enough. So on a good note, I said, hey, Slick, making my way. I'm still going to train. He said, no, that's great. As long as you're staying with it. Went over to PAPW. Worked better with my schedule. It's closer. So, and now they're like a family. So I've been over there now for going on 2 years.
Well, PAPW is a great facility as well. I've, you know, obviously you see me come down there, hang out sometimes during the week. That was, I owe it to Paul Roma really to get me back into professional wrestling. It was a chance meeting him at a random weekday morning on my way to work. I ran into him at a gas station. He invited me to a show and I literally fell in love again with wrestling after not necessarily watching it for a couple years after I divorced my first wife. So I kind of, you know, it was that funky period where I stopped watching for like 5 years and then eventually became part of the family and very good friends with Mr. Mancini over there, Mario Mancini. So, you know, Paradise Alley is a very special place, I feel.
I agree. Absolutely. A lot of great students constantly coming in through the door. I'm so happy to see so much passion and so many new kids coming in every month. So it's awesome.
That's awesome. You got, of course, guys like Jermaine Marbury, who's blowing up all over the place, seems like now. And one of the nicest people you will ever meet, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, really good guy. We've worked. I think I'm tied. I've worked with him 4 times, and that's tied for the most. I've worked him 4 times and Bloodstall 4 times. So that's who I'm tied with working with the most. We actually worked a place in New Jersey together in a fatal four-way. And there's I don't know if he's actually wrestling anymore, the guy that we worked with, but I forget his last name. His name was Ben. He used to be a professional basketball player turned wrestler, and he was huge. And we got to work a match with him. I know he's done some AEW stuff, but that's a really cool match.
You mentioned Bledsoe, so I'm just going to jump right into it now while I have it fresh in my mind. Was it coming up on the 23rd? Paradise Alley has a big event. It was a St. Paradise, and you're going to be part of a Fatal 4-Way for the AIWF International Championship.
Yep. He's my arch nemesis, most definitely. Yeah, we have had some crazy matches. We actually took home a match of the year in 2023 for PAPW, which I'm very proud of. Yeah. We had a street fight. Had a lot of really interesting things go down in that street fight. And recently I worked him in North Carolina, also for the AIWF title, where he always gets the better of me. Every time I think I got him, he comes up with something new.
You got to come up with something different.
I know. Though he's a step ahead of me, but North Carolina was really cool. I feel like it was very different wrestling than what we were used to, but we had the crowd, which was really nice.
Well, you know, that I guess that Southern style of professional wrestling is a completely different style than what we are used to up here in the United States. Of course, it's North Carolina, the Carolinas in general, the Mid-Atlantic area has a huge, rich history of things like the Crockett's, the NWA and stuff like that. So are you familiar with that stuff at all? I mean,
a little bit. I know that they, the same time we were down there, they were about to hold the big AEW pay-per-view over there too. I know Young Bucks are from North Carolina and Sting had his final match over there.
Yep.
Was almost tempted to stay for that, but I'm sure I would have heard it from the missus.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know what it's like working multiple shows in a weekend and you, anyways, that's whatever. What is it like working or training under somebody like Paul Roma and Mario Mancini? Two guys that have tons of major experience in working for the largest wrestling company ever, really.
It's fantastic. It's amazing, honestly. They both have a completely different way of training. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Mario got to work with, they both did, but while Mario didn't have a huge win bracket under his name, he worked with some of the greatest ever, and to be the Undertaker's first opponent, that means they put a lot of trust in him to get a lot of these people over. And he teaches us a lot of stuff like that. I'm a big fan of, you don't have to win every match. As long as I've learned, if you look good out there, you protect yourself, Right. I've lost plenty of matches and not look like a bum. So that's... And then Paul really steps it up to the next level with the extra cardio, and he'll tell you. But my first day there, he said, "All right, well, you know what you're doing, but that drop kick sucked." And I'm like, "Oh, you're not wrong." So.
This is a guy that had a very beautiful drop kick as well.
Yeah, one of the best.
Yeah, and I see. Growing up, I was a huge Paul Roma fan, and I thought that he was probably one of the most underrated wrestlers on TV at that time, and because he was just so fluid, that guy could, he's lucky if he didn't go over your head, with that drop kick. It was such an awesome drop kick.
I saw him take a back body drop and land on his feet. I wish I was that athletic. I'm like, whoa. He told me a story. He goes, yeah, I used to do that. I was really good at that until one day I went out of the ring, and then I stopped doing that. He said, "I go, oh man."
Let's talk about your first appearance. So you were training at Test of Strength, correct? And then you, before you had your first match, correct? And then moved over to PAPW,
right? So I had done some battle royal stuff while I was over at Test of Strength. First time I ever got in the ring in front of everybody was a 53-man battle royal. It's just ridiculous to say that out loud. 53, and not all of us could fit in the ring. Right. So there are people outside the ring waiting for people to be eliminated so that they can get in the ring. And
where was that? Was that
that was at 2TW.
So, oh, okay. That explains the concept. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah.
And lots of people had a blast. I was in there I think I was the second person to walk through the curtain and like in the top 10. So that was exciting. It's the first time I ever got to be live. It's actually sad, but it's the only show my uncle who got me into wrestling was able to see. I'm blessed that he got to see me once before he ended up passing away. But
I know that's a special moment that you're going to hold forever.
Yeah.
So if I remember correctly, I'm going by memory, you came into Paradise Alley as a heel by attacking my former co-host, Showtime Marcel Williams, with a crowbar. Is this correct?
Yeah, that I had one match before that. I was training there for about 3, maybe 4 months, and we were at the Cadillac Ranch. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, Vlad's opponent's not here, so you're in a barroom brawl. I said, okay. So that was my first. And then Marcel, we were in I was in the tournament, the Hercules Hernandez tournament.
Okay.
Hercules was after, so this was King of Paradise. The King of Paradise.
Say, okay, tournament. Yeah. Okay.
And in round one, he beat me in that. And then I tried to take out some revenge at the next JCC show. He was out for a little bit. He came back, and we ended up brawling again, where he got the better. I mean, Marcel is phenomenal. He really is. First ever real singles match. And he brought a lot out of me. So I'm, he's a great dude. I can't wait to see what he does when he comes back.
I'm trying to get his ass back on the show as a co-host. I mean, he's taking his time. So, maybe you can put it in his ear. I bug him every day. So, every day. So at the next show, he's going to be wrestling Hunter Tarka. For the belt. And Showtime Marcel Williams is not familiar, or excuse me, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that, is very familiar with gold, Hunter Tarka as well. So I mean, I find that's going to be a pretty interesting
I believe belt. He's a two-time PAPW World Heavyweight Champion.
I believe that is correct. I think that I wasn't around the period during the first time, but I do remember the second era of that. So, of course, we're going to be talking about some gold as well, because you recently won a title, which is, you were part of a Rumble, and this was Massachusetts, right? For the formerly named OCW, which rebooted,
changed
their name. Yeah. Probably within the last 24 hours, I think, or 48 hours. For some legal reasons that we're not allowed to get into here, because I spoke with
Mr. Know what they are, so I couldn't tell you.
So as former Outcast Championship Wrestling, now Outcast Wrestling Federation, you are the Interstate 91 Heavyweight Champion. You won that in a Rumble match. I find that it would be a very interesting title name.
Yes.
So you get to defend that all up and down I-91.
Which is what their idea was. It was to celebrate having the Massachusetts shows and the Connecticut shows. I think is a pretty cool concept. They're very happy that we got that. Earlier in the night, I did face PJ Savage. What an amazing talent PJ is.
Absolutely.
He did get the better of me. But then in the Rumble, it came down to the two of us at the end. And I pulled one off. So pulled one over.
Wow. You're able to outsmart somebody of that.
There you go.
That guy. And it's not saying, like, he is a literal savage. That dude is a beast.
Absolutely.
It's only a matter of time before that guy blows up, I think.
I agree.
So, very
grateful.
This very coming. Grateful. Oh, sorry, I cut you off there. No, all good. Yeah. So, this coming Friday, which is March 15th. Is the next Outcast show? Are you going to be there with that belt?
Yes, I will. It will be myself versus Bull Dredd.
Oh, man.
You know, another person who we've crossed paths at many a shows. We've never worked together. See, with me, I have a lot of respect for all these guys. You know, he's on my list of people that I want to work with. 90% of the places that I work now, they have me as a face. Because as you saw, when I fought Marcel, I hit him with a crowbar and they still cheered me. So
maybe that's saying something about most Marcel. I mean,
I don't know.
So,
me and Bull Dredd, I've got quite the interesting surprise for him. I can't wait for you all to see it.
I'm looking forward to it. Another interesting note, I will be making my OWF debut as commentator this coming Friday. So everybody keep an eye out for that. So I just had to do that cheap plug right there. Excellent. It should be a fun show. It's at Legend Sports Bar, Bristol, Connecticut. I want everybody to come down and, you know, you're going to get some experience, some great professional wrestling. Because right now, Connecticut is a very hot place for pro wrestling. It really is. We've got shows basically. It seems like every weekend there's a show, right?
Yeah, everywhere. I just got hit up, I think yesterday morning, I opened up my inbox. I'm not familiar with the company. They're out of New York. Mm-hmm. I got to look them up, but they offered me like 4 dates. And I'm like, all right, cool. And I'm like, let me check them out. I haven't worked in New York. I was supposed to go down yesterday. Yesterday was Saturday. Yeah. Yesterday to that tryout with Savage invited me to, but sometimes life happens and, you know, I had some stuff come up, but I know he's got another one coming up and three Dragon Gate reps are going to be there for that one too. So I'll make sure take care of it.
Yeah, you might want to be make yourself available for that show because that's going to be pretty impressive.
I'm definitely going to make sure I'm available for that one.
So he's running his own company as well, PJ Savage, you just mentioned. And
Titan.
What's it called?
He's got Titan, but he also works with Invictus. So I'm not sure if he's doing booking on both.
Right.
But definitely Titan.
Yeah. So let's see. What else? I saw that you just put out something on social media that I want to ask you about, that you're going to Canada sometime soon.
Yes. Yes. I only just mentioned that. So again, super honored. You brought up Marbury earlier too. We are going to take part in a 6-man tag. Me, Jermaine, and Mario Mancini, who will be coming out of retirement for the 6-man tag in Canada. I'm honored that we were invited to be a part of the tag. You know, I am thrilled. Just last summer, I worked a match actually against Marbury, and Mario was our special guest referee. And I mean, I was honored just to be in the ring with Mario as I'm in the ref. So to be his tag team partner, you know, it blows my mind. It's really cool.
I mean, Mario's a great guy. I was at his retirement match. It was only, 2 years ago? 3 years ago? Something.
I believe so. Him and Dustin.
Yeah, him and Flash, where we thought that he took that belt away from him because of that Paul Roma, that fast count. And then, of course, you know, Ref Bill came out and reversed the decision. You know, that was a fun time, I think. Yeah. That was fun. And, that was exciting. So that's got to be pretty cool that you're teaming up with somebody like Mario, your teacher and, you know, a legendary professional wrestler.
Yeah, absolutely. I know Paul's making that trip with us too, so it should be an exciting car ride. So,
and you get to wrestle in Canada. That's your first Canadian appearance. That should be a lot of fun.
Yep, my first Canadian appearance. I hear so many good stories about Canadian wrestling, being over there, how much fun it is. I don't have a second date, but I do know another company that I'm going to be tagging. I've been tagging with Gibbs, formerly known as Zachariah Gibbs. He's not Amish anymore. He left the Amish community, and we just had our first official tag match over at BCW. And we're going to be tagging for Supernova. That's the other company. Okay. And they have a big annual Canadian show in Canada as well. They want us on. I don't know the date on that yet, though.
Okay.
Well, it's in August. That's all I know.
Okay. You update us, and I'll put it up on the website, prowrestlingwired.com. So put it up. The purpose of the website is to push independent professional wrestling in the community and get the names out there for all guys like yourself. You've been teaming up with Gibbs, you said. Now, yep. You Bay State Championship Wrestling. You were up there a couple months ago. I remember I was invited to work the show. This was, I think, late last year, maybe earlier this year. I'm trying to remember that. And I remember there's a lot of technical difficulties at the basketball gym.
Yes.
I'm not trying to say anything bad about it.
Last minute they had to change the venue. I heard a lot of companies went through the problem where Elks Lodges had canceled a bunch of shows.
Right.
I guess if, you know, I don't know all the bylaws of the Elks, but so we had to change the venue last minute. And I'm sure that played a lot into it. But we had this crazy three teams, and there really wasn't any tagging involved. It was just like
the
hardcore stuff.
It was the Barriqua Bombers and the Alliance of Destruction, and you tried to one of them to you tried to trick one of them. I know that. I don't know how far that went, but
the box wasn't as big as I should have got, but you know, it was funny. It was definitely funny. So
I saw the video back on the TV.
Yeah.
It was quite hilarious watching it a second time, I'll tell you that.
The first official tag match was last month. It was us versus the Mission. I mean, we didn't win, but it went well as it could go for losing, I guess, you know.
Yep, that was I believe that was a good show, I thought, in that I had worked for Bay State on a few different occasions. I'm usually the fill-in guy for Tommy when he can't make it, but there nice I believe venue. It was a very nice venue, and I guess they're going to be doing that moving forward. So that's a very nice, the War Memorial in Holyoke, Massachusetts, and it's not a far drive from where we are in this area.
Not terrible.
Yeah, so I write up there with Kevin Sabin, who's, another phenomenal human being as part of Paradise Alley Pro Wrestling.
A lot of times I'll message him because I'm very self-conscious about my matches still. And just like, you know, if I mess something up or, you know, you have a mistake in a match and until I see it back, I'm just like, oh my God, it was the worst thing ever. And then what felt like an eternity at the time, I watched it back, you know, oh, we fixed that in like 3 seconds. I guess it wasn't as bad as I thought. So I'll always message him and be like, all right, how was it? You know, so.
There's one thing about him. He's got a good brain for professional wrestling. He will watch and critique. And I think that he understands the psychology of professional wrestling. I mean, he hangs around with guys like Mario and Paul Roma. So he understands, I think. And those car rides, I feel, are amazing car rides because we get to talk a lot about the community in professional wrestling in Connecticut. Everybody we know, like nothing, obviously, it's all positive. We critique a lot of the goings on in the area, and it's it's always positive. And then we always, how can we fix this? How can we do this and this and that? He's very good at helping and giving his opinion in a positive light.
He's there every Monday and Tuesday when class is being run. So
right. Yeah, I gotta get down there again. I keep saying that I'm coming down one of these days, but my schedule is just insane. My work schedule, working two damn jobs. So so let's see where else we're going here. Let's talk about that tag match against the Mission a little bit. That was you and Gibbs. How did you and Gibbs come about?
We've been working a lot. So crazy. See, growing up, I was a lot more into tag team wrestling. Mm-hmm. I thought when I started wrestling, that would be what I was doing. I was like, oh, I'll start tagging. It'll be awesome. It totally went a different direction. I'm not going to lie. Right. I definitely like the singles wrestling more now. But I still wanted to do some tag work, and Gibbs is my friend in real life. So I was like, let's see what we can do. You know, you're in a faction over here. It's not going to work over here. Why don't we go to another state? Let's try it. And we've come up with some very innovative maneuvers. That's one of the things I like to do in every single match is I try to do something different. Not something always that you've never seen before, but maybe something you haven't seen out of me. Right. So like we've got a couple moves that we came up with on our own. I don't know. You saw them as you were there, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Ridiculous Undertaker walk where he dives off and slingshots me into a baseball slide way more than we needed to do. But it's, the crowd was like, I don't know what that was. That was great. Like, that was ridiculous, but it worked. So almost like that Captain Jack Sparrow, like,
right.
That never sort of worked. Like, that's so stupid. I can't believe it worked, but it only worked because it was so stupid.
So. What do you think about Gibbs losing his Amish gimmick and just going with the no gimmicks Gibbs? But I have to argue that it is a gimmick. So,
yeah.
So. I told him that he popped up at a New Age show, I think, a couple of weeks ago. And I said, you realize the no gimmicks is a gimmick. And he just looked at me. All right, never mind. So
I don't know if it's because. So me and Gibbs actually had a match once at
Coliseum. Yep.
And I never thought someone was going to kill me in a match more than him because he's like, Al. Like I made him break character. Like he was laughing in the match. Because I'm just such an idiot sometimes. And he I was like, oh my God, you're really like laying it in on me. Oh my God, he was kicking my butt. And but I don't know if he dropped the gimmicks just because of how bad I roasted him when we were in there. And I don't know what it is, but he's like, no, I think he wants it to be more serious. Which is really hard to do when you're working with me because this is me in real life. And this is why I do that live for the longest time. I mentioned a few weeks ago for the first time, like for the longest time, I couldn't really even be myself around a lot of people because people were like, oh, he's kind of an idiot. I don't know. And it's not that I'm an idiot. It's just like, I like to have fun. This is my kind of humor.
Right.
I can get in there and throw down. Me and Brad Baylor had a crazy 2 out of 3 falls match, and there was no clowning around on that. It was all brawl. It was great.
Was this from the JCC or Woodbridge?
Yeah.
That one? Yeah. I'm looking at it right now on my screen.
But I just like to have fun. You know, if I can make somebody in the audience happy or laugh for a while, you know, then I'm happy. So,
yeah. What is it? Last week? Was it last week? No, 2 weeks ago. That was Paradise Alley. You met the premier Luis Leon. Mm-hmm. Is that your first time wrestling Luis?
First time wrestling him. We did debut together in Northeast Wrestling. We were in a 6-man tag.
I remember that match. Yeah.
against Battle Academy. Randomly, I don't know.
That's the day that Northeast added a second show, like a daytime show randomly, and they I think they put out there that they needed talent and I think it's because the evening show sold out so fast they wanted to add a second show for people that couldn't get the tickets. If I remember, I forgot who they had there though that made them make that decision. I can't remember.
Recently, I've been seeing a lot, and I'm very grateful, always grateful. I don't know why it started happening, but Northeast Wrestling has been making all these posts, and a lot of people, some of which I don't even know, are like, we want Alan Compass at Northeast. I took a couple of screenshots because of like, well, that's wild, because it's just like, here's a Northeast post with like 20 comments and like, 5 or 6 of them are, we want Alan Compass on the show. And I'm like, well, that's cool. I'm going to be there that day to see if we can talk business. Cause I'd love to go back there. I mean, I'd be crazy not to want to go back there. And I'm definitely more comfortable in my skin and what I'm doing, performance-wise, than I was when I originally got my first match over there. They did invite me back one other time, but I did already have something going on, so I couldn't take it. So,
right. And Northeast Wrestling would be good exposure for you, Alan Compass. Yeah. It's, you know, they get gigantic crowds. They probably get the biggest crowds here in the Northeast, literally. So, I mean, not to say anything bad about any of the other several companies in Connecticut or, you know, but in Connecticut's a hotbed right now. Like, there's a lot going on in Connecticut right now. There's literally, I don't know if I meant, did I just mention this earlier? I know I did another podcast.
I don't know if you
right
said a number, but there.
Yeah, there's like at least like 6 or 7 groups right now. And it's like every weekend there's a show basically. And that's pretty exciting because a number of years ago, probably earlier to mid 2000s, there was plenty of times there was nothing. You'd have to drive further away. You know what I mean? So it's pretty exciting that there's so much going on right now.
I think I was saying recently, so last year, beginning of January to end of December, I did 33 matches. And that was my first full year of wrestling. I did maybe four months prior to that. But my first full year, I was like, oh, cool, good. I'm very happy. 33, cool. That's awesome. I currently already had a good chunk of matches this year. And in my calendar through April, I've already got another 34 dates confirmed. And it's like, blows my mind. Like, I was like,
For this year,
just through April already. And I'm just like, and it's mostly almost every Saturday, but you know.
That's pretty amazing. That means you've grown, you've gotten the exposure. People want to see the Crocodile King.
And I'm trying to I'm obviously not spacing it out. I'm taking it every weekend, but going to different places, you know, out of state. We did a few matches when we were traveling. We did West Virginia, then we did North Carolina. We were going to have another North Carolina date, but the roof caught on fire. So
I heard actually. Yeah. I spoke with Matt, the president of AIWF, and he's like, you didn't hear about this? I'm like, no. He's like, oh, I guess one of the electrical outlets blew and it lit the whole thing on fire. I said, there's no damage, enough damage to the building to where they're going to have to shut down or anything. They just got to clean it up and nothing crazy. So I found that out about 2 days ago. So I speak with him on a somewhat frequent basis.
Oh, nice. He's a really cool, really nice guy.
Yeah, he sends me a lot of talent to talk about and get the AIWF exposure. And as I said, I think I mentioned it to you, I am now the Northeast correspondent for AIWF. Yep. So keep a lookout for those new shows, everybody. So I know I'm just talking all about myself here. So let's talk.
Perfect. You got it.
So this show is about guys like yourself and giving you guys the platform to, tell me, are you wrestling anywhere new this year outside of, like, you said you're booked already, what you say, 34 matches for the year so far through April? So, is there anywhere new that you're going for?
Supernova was new to me. The AIWF was new to me. The stuff in Canada. Last year I had, if I take these other ones, I only just looked at it briefly the other morning. It's something underground in New York. I got to check them out.
All these companies got these funky names these days. I can't keep up. Yeah.
OCW, which just changed their name. They were new to me this year. There's, you know, after having my match with PJ and he invited me down that way, I'd like to get into Invictus or Titan. I know I talked to the guy who runs Wrestling Magic. He's looking for tag teams, he said, so maybe I'll see if me and Gibbs can get over there. He wasn't looking so much for single stuff, but And that's another reason that, like, I want to do the tag scene, is everyone's looking for different things. So not only does it give me an opportunity to, hey, get myself in another place, but it also gives me an opportunity to get someone else involved in another place too. One of my biggest things is I want to do stuff together with other people. I don't want to do it alone. Right.
No, you want to, you know, say you and Gibbs, like, you want to help him get the exposure and go elsewhere as well. So that's just an example I'm speaking of. So,
yeah.
Where, as far as states and stuff like that, is there new states outside? Because, like you said, North Carolina, West Virginia was new to you. Is there anywhere like you're traveling that's semi-new?
We did make a good contact up with the AIWF while we were up there. So I don't have dates yet or the exact name of the promotion. But I know I think his name's Matt. I think why is everyone's name Matt? I could be wrong. But he runs, now I don't know what's Matt. Now I'm in my head, but he runs Maine, a bunch of, festival places in Maine.
Okay.
So we're getting the invite to go up there. I used to live in Maine for a little bit. That was fun. Up in Portland.
Okay, nice.
So I'm happy to go back to Maine. That's where I would, if I could live anywhere again, I would go to Portland again. But my wife says it's way too cold, so she's not going. She'll go there in the summer for vacation, but that's about the best I can get out of her.
Maine is nice. There's a lot of wrestling up there as well. So, you know, that's that could be, yeah. Like you said, it could be good exposure for you, or good, you know, something to think about going up there. Maybe go on a weekend trip with your wife and a working vacation, so to speak.
Yes.
She might not.
But I don't avoid everyone enough as it is.
Yes.
Because I'm wrestling every weekend. Yep. It's fine.
Tell me about, you worked Troy Stevens not so long ago when he was the United States champion. Of course, he lost the belt to Ryan Frost a couple shows back. So tell me about working with somebody like Troy's. Troy, yeah, he's a phenomenal performer.
I'd say both Troy Stevens and Bloodsaw have brought more on me than anybody else. Troy is phenomenal in that ring. Yeah. I've done stuff in matches with him. I've had two matches with him now. The first one was at the training facility at Paradise Valley Pro Wrestling, and the other one was at the Armada Brewing Company. And he was telling somebody at a Tetsu show that I was at, he's like, I think my longest match was like 22 minutes with Alan. At the brewery, Armada Brewery. And I can't wait to start those shows up again. Those are a blast.
They're coming up this spring, I believe, from what I've heard. I don't know if the dates have been confirmed yet. They haven't been put out yet, but I know.
I've got a ton of dates and I don't know what I'm allowed to say. So,
I got a lot of information too. I'm not sure if I like what I'm supposed to be putting out there or not, unless I did not inquire beforehand. So, So you just mentioned Tetsu. So, of course, you went up there, you wrestled somebody like Red Sawyer, who is a maniac. This guy is insane. Yeah. He reminds me a lot of Bruiser Brody. I'm a big fan of his, Red Sawyer. I think he's got a lot of potential to go way further and get to that level. What do you think? I mean, I'm sorry to say this. You took the L on this one, I believe.
He's very unorthodox.
Yes.
That's very unorthodox. There's some things that happened I was not prepared for. But absolutely, another thing that kind of takes you out of your environment. The first time I've ever been over at Tetsu, they've got an octagon-shaped ring, so that was a little bit different. I trained a little bit with Red over at Test of Strengths, but he's got a lot of potential. I think he could be doing some really big things. As soon as he starts branching out, he starts reaching out to new places. He's going to make a good impression anywhere he goes, in my opinion. So,
yeah, I'm trying to, I'm put in a good word for him and like trying to get him at Coliseum as well, because, you know, that's where I work home. That's my home, yeah. I guess you could say, in wrestling. I really want to see him come in there and just kind of, I just have a feeling that he would like tear the place apart. You know what I mean? Like,
cause yeah, I just reached out to them again. So my super weakness would be I am really bad with the internet, and I'm trying so hard to get better. I just started an X account, and I'm doing more with the Instagram and the Facebook. I'm trying to do something every day. And for the longest time, they're like, oh, well, we saw you at Coliseum, and then you never came back. And I was like, I don't know. Every time I saw something, it was like the card was already full. And like, apparently I just, like, I don't know what I did, but like, I'm in the thing where like, who's available, but I just wasn't seeing the messages. I think I accidentally like muted the chat. So like, I wasn't seeing anything. So just recently I saw it, and I talked to Hakeem at the last show. He's like, yeah, well, I would come back in. He's like, yeah, just, we figured it out, and now I see all the messages. I've unmuted the chat, and hopefully I'm in there again soon. So
I mute a lot of things on my phone, because if not, my phone just would not shut up. You know what I mean?
With all night.
Yes, it's. I mean, that's why I had to mute Facebook, because it's this person posted something, this person or this person commented. Your phone doesn't stop. It's just annoying.
No.
So, yeah. No. Tell me about, so you work Gibbs at the Coliseum show. Yeah. So, I mean, why not come back? I think it would be fun to see you come back. I mean, why not, right? It's,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And many places as I can go.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe it was Chris Battle who said it to me. He goes, you do a really good job of getting yourself over, whether it's face or heel. It's just a matter of getting your foot in the door in some of these places.
Well, so isn't that what's the most important part of that, is getting the fans invested in you and getting yourself over, right? Or, you know, as opposed to just,
well,
you got to make them care about you. I mean, you got to look good in the ring. Don't get me wrong. You know, maybe I said that the wrong way, but it's very important to get yourself over. Cause I know that every time that I see you in ring, say a Paradise Alley or wherever, that the fans are completely going crazy over you.
Yeah. Which is crazy, because I never thought that I would be a face. I was like, oh, I really like working heel. I'll be honest, I think it's easier to work heel. But it got to the point where they're just like, now, even when I was working PJ, you know, I was heel over at OCW, but not anymore, because he's like, you had them and they hated you in the beginning of the match. He goes, but halfway through it, they were just like, you know what? I kind of like this guy. So I'm like, all right, fine. Give in. I'll just be fixed.
Where did you come up with the Crocodile King, the gimmick, and the Australian, the whole Australian? Did you watch Crocodile Dundee a million times or something?
Oh, that. Always a big fan of Steve Irwin.
That's okay. All right.
I always did a lot. So I've always done a lot of voice work, as far as like, I'm not going to do it now, but I could do, I could sound like a lot of the Muppets, maybe. Carol Kermit Frog here, you know? So I got like, there you go. But I've always done like voices, and I had a blast with it. I don't know. It just felt like it was an easy transition to like, you know, I can be a larger than life version of myself, put an Australian twist on it. Like this new shirt, this was a freak accident. That's my real name, Alan. Like, and then Australian, it just worked. And that, I woke up one day, I go, not the best at spelling, hold on. Oh, that does work, fantastic. All right, good. So,
What else was I going to say? How important do you think social media is? I mean, you said you're bad at social media, but I feel that social media is extremely important, whether it be TikTok or Reels or Instagram. You know, it's a way to find, or for people to find out about you, even if, you know, they don't necessarily see you in their area, they could discover you and then be like, oh shit, there's this dude out here.
I think it's the most important thing. It really is. I'm doing my best to get better at it. I saw something today and I'm going to talk, maybe you'll know, but I was like, I got the option to be, monetized or something. And then I don't know, verified. I got an option for, right. like, you can have your Instagram verified. And I go, well, that sounds important. Is that, is that going to make it more likely for people to be like, yeah, like come to the page. It looks more official. I'm like, I don't know.
No, I mean, I think that stuff like that is very important. And there's ways through social media that you'll be able to say, hey, you know, make money, whether it be YouTube or Instagram, where, you know, they'll put advertisements in the middle of your shows or what have you. So it could be a very important platform. I know, just like the YouTube channel that I am running this episode on, it is a monetized channel. I don't, you know, make a terrible amount of money off of it, but it's an option, you know what I mean? And it's just to try to get more exposure as well. So I push the YouTube channel a lot, whether people subscribe or not, that's up to them. So.
Yeah. Fun Australia thing. So I was in a band for a very long time, and my music is actually played in Australia on a few radio stations. Yeah. And all over the place, which is weird. We're on like everything, but it's all this stuff. Like, we'll get little royalty checks. They're not much, but it's enough to keep all of our stuff on social media. It on Spotify and everything. So that's cool enough.
I recently handed over a bunch of my episodes to the Savoldi family, which, you know, a lot of my previous interviews with legends and guys that were on their roster for their older international championship wrestling and other guys. And I got my first royalty check yesterday in the mail.
Nice.
It was a whopping $2 after.
Yeah. So,
I was very excited when the envelope came, and I was like, great. You know,
and it's just something you put on the wall, you know?
Yeah, exactly. My wife's like, you better cash that. I'm like, it's $2, isn't it? So let's talk about this. I did not know you were a musician at all. Let's talk a little bit about this. What kind of music do you play? Are you into?
Pretty much everything. I was the lead vocalist, and I would go back and forth between rhythm guitar and lead guitar, depending on the song. Yeah. The band was called Mystic Seahorse. We got that name because uncle of mine would come over, and he was in a band called Seahorse back in the day. And I've seen plenty of musicians, and to this day, it still blows my mind. I can't figure out. I know I can't do it. He'd be playing the guitar, and then he'd flip it upside down and still be playing the guitar. And I was like, no, that's impossible. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really looked up to him. And then I did the music thing, and we did some cool tours. We did get offered a world tour, which I did turn down because I said, guys, I get it. We're doing this. We're doing some cool stuff. We played with some awesome bands. We played with Living Color, a lot of punk rock bands that I didn't know, but all the other guys were really excited, so good for them. And we were with the Wu-Tang Clan, and I didn't even know. Well, I thought that was like gangster rap. I don't know what Wu-Tang Clan was, but we were on our way home after playing with the Wu-Tang Clan, totally different styles. And I get a friend request, and I'm like, who is Lamont A. Compton, and why is he sending me? I go, oh, that's the guy from Wu-Tang's real name, and he's friend requesting me. That's nuts. But yeah, so we've met some cool people, and we have a blast. Yeah.
I actually worked a show for Corey Glover from Living Color. I used to work at the space, the outer space.
Oh, nice.
So I worked there up until their closing of their original run from the original owner. So that was a blast. I got to work with a lot of people I really enjoyed working with, or that I was a fan of, whether they be punk rock bands or what have you, because I grew up kind of like punk, and for the most part in the 1990s was completely different now, I guess, you know, the exposure and stuff, but it was a blast. I gotta tell you, I worked in the kitchen flipping burgers and all that other stuff. So it was their kitchen was right behind the stage. I got to look and watch everything as I'm cooking. So that's fun. But we're getting to work with a guy like Corey Glover. I got to work with Ted Leo. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him at all.
The name sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I'm better with faces.
Yeah, Ted Leo and the Pharmacist, which was have a very punk origins, I guess you could say. So, you know, it's it was a blast, and being involved in the music industry is, it's not that far off from professional wrestling or radio and podcasting by any means.
This was honestly the only reason I gravitated towards it, really, was at the time I couldn't wrestle. I wasn't cleared to wrestle. And then one day my wife was like, you're going to kick yourself if you don't see if you can do it now. See if things have gotten better. And I was like, oh, this wasn't bad at all. I remember my first day trying to do an up and over after not working out, because I've also done American Ninja Warrior. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. And I went from, it was like an 11-year gap. So I did Ninja Warrior. And then in between that time, I did music and then I did wrestling. I went from, wow, I'm really strong, to my first time in the ring, I was like, oh, I can't do an up and over. I have no strength whatsoever. But he just in not my last match, but the match before, I was working with Jekyll, and he's a bigger dude. And I was like, oh, I wonder if I could scoop slam him. I go, oh, yeah, this is easier than I thought. Fantastic. Hooray, I'm getting stronger again, so.
Jekyll's quite the unique individual in ring, yes, as well. So he, yeah, recently, I get, was it last year, the year before, that he made his return to the ring?
Yep.
It's and I hadn't seen him for quite some time. So that was, he's a pretty interesting character. Now he's been working, yeah, Bay State as well.
Yeah. He's also very strong outside the ring. I made the mistake of going to the gym with him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was dumb of me. I was like, oh yeah, I can do this. This is great. He goes, no, I'm just warming up with this. And then he put like triple the weight on. I'm like, I'm going to go play basketball.
So, Alan, go ahead.
No, that's all.
What else do you have coming up that you could tout out? I know 2TW is returning. Are you going to be part of their shows going forward? I know that some
people
are not going to be part of that roster, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, they have sent me all of their dates.
Mm-hmm.
I am free for all of them. There's one that's on the fence. I got to figure out. I got to talk with Paul first, because Paradise is my home. I will always put them first. So I got to see what's going on. But I've got all their dates in my phone, which I can't look at because I'm on a video chat.
My fault, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all right. I could have wrote stuff down. I didn't. And then I had so much time. So I'm in a championship scramble for their heavyweight title. That would be exciting if I walked out with that. Here's the hope. Yeah. So I'm in that. I've got some, I'm waiting for more dates. They want me on a bunch of their stuff, Supernova. They said they're going to have the dates in the next few weeks. So then I'll see where that goes. PAPW gave me most of their dates. I know all the brewery dates, but then again, like, I don't know what we can say, what we can't say. I will say that the very first brewery show is going to be very exciting. I am saddened that I will not be able to be at that one. They are titling it New Blood. That much I can tell you. It's a lot of the new guys are going to get a opportunity, and I'm very excited. I'm very excited for that.
Well, so that sounds like I'm going to try to make it out there to them. I mean, my schedule has gotten so busy that I'm not always able to make them nearly as much as I used to. So I need to try to, you know, open up my schedule so I can come out there more. So because I miss going there, and I miss hanging out with everybody there. So it's a great place to visit.
It's a great group of people. So,
yeah, absolutely. Is there anything else you want to throw out there? Throw out your social medias so that people could find
you. Very conveniently, everything is just under Alan Compass. At Facebook, Instagram, and now Twitter, which is X, I guess. So it's just Alan Compass. I just got these cool new shirts. People have been bugging me for merch forever. I had a guy online doing stuff for me for a while, and then his site's down, and he's got to do some work on it. So eventually that should be up. Marbury actually just helped me get wrestling tees hooked up. I have to go finalize doing things with that and put the designs in. Now that I have an account, I just got to go put all the stuff up. But I do have these in stock. I'll be selling at shows. I've got a couple boomerangs left. Those are always fun to sell. Okay. 8x10, you know, so.
Yeah, make sure you have 8x10s because that's very important. I always try to push that. I know guys that just don't have 8x10s. It's not very smart. So, we got a great bunch of photographers in our area taking photos. You know what I mean? So there's Caesar.
Oh,
there's Dave. There's the other Dave. So, you know, there's a lot of guys out there. So that let's help these guys as well by giving them, you know, they're taking everybody's photos.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. What else? Was there something else you were about to say? Did I cut you off?
Not really.
No,
not really.
All right. I want to say thank you. Make sure you go follow Alan Compass on social media. I want to say thank you for joining me today. And I'd love to do this again in the near future, especially, you know, the next time you win. Maybe if you win the AIWF International title, we'll do an on the spot interview.
All right. You'll have to try extra hard then. All right. Three clowns I got to deal with. Great. I know Vano doesn't wear makeup, but he prancerizes to the ring. Therefore, clown bicep. All right.
Yeah, he can be. I guess he's considered. Anyways, thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Alan, for joining me today. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike.